wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, and you can get in on the show at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R Got No J. 713-780-3776 is the number to call if you want to get in here. Man, what are you going to do about Maton here?
Not pitching.
Lance McCullers Jr. is coming back on Saturday. I mean, Martinez is, Abreu is pitching better. Martinez is pitching better. Those are probably the two guys. Those are the candidates to get sent down.
Yeah.
But Maton has been terrible.
Maton just, I mean, if you take away a two-week stretch, he just hasn't been great as an Astro period. It really is the truth. Last year in a regular season, he was just okay. Then he had a stretch of about 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks, where everyone got all excited because Phil Maton never shows emotion. And so he looked like he was just stone-cold killer on the mound. And it just turns out that's just his resting Maton face, and he's been getting ruined since then. And then, you know, yesterday Abreu gave up the double that scored three runs that he had inherited from Maton. So neither one of those guys did their job in the 10th yesterday.
But you got it. You come in there, and
you know, Verlander wasn't classy.
And you got to get that guy out of that jam that he put you in. I mean,
who, Maton?
Yeah, Abreu. I mean, I get it. He didn't do his job. He's got to get He's got to strike the guy out.
One out.
Right.
He didn't do it in double and three runs but that was, you know, he didn't do his job. Maton didn't do his job. Maton didn't do his job at all. For me, I've been here for a little bit. I just think there are certain guys you trust on this team, and this isn't really difficult for me personally. People will look at me as a hater. You're the same way about Jake Odorizzi. You're the same way about Ryan, but Ryan Pressly has been much, much better. Ryan Pressly wasn't as good early in the year. He's gotten it together. Yesterday was great for him. Ryan Pressly seems to have it together. And when he stumbles now, it's just a hiccup. Phil Maton does not, first of all, Maton doesn't work as hot as some of the other guys do in terms of his velocity and things like that. Number two, there has not been a run other than, as I mentioned, in the postseason where it's most notable, and then he's coasted on that. He's just not been very good relative to the rest of the Astros starters for parts of last year when he was acquired and all of this year. And so, to me, you've got enough arms that you don't have to go to him anymore. You don't even have to have him on the rim. I don't know why he would be on the playoff roster except that you have a bunch of arms on the playoff roster. But to your point, John, I mean, Lance McCullers he's not a classic relief pitcher. That's not something a guy who has had arm troubles that have extended for 9 months, or the 9 month, comeback basically of Lance McCullers. That's not really something that you want to have in a situation where you have, fluid appearances and pitch counts and things like that. However, if you say, look, we're just going to use him every 4 to 5 days in a relief role for an inning to two innings, or maybe eventually as a long second reliever for Luis Garcia if he goes five innings, or Christian Javier who goes five, okay, that's fine. So now when you talk about what are you going to do with Lance McCullers, I just say you put him on a staff. He's probably not a starter right now. I don't see where you could
fit him in.
What
do you mean? He's starting Saturday.
Well, I mean, in the long term, other than a six-man rotation, is he a starter?
Well, but let's see. I mean, for the rest of the – listen, this cuts down Verlander's innings. It gives all of these guys a break. It's Lance McCullers who you're paying $85 million to. You don't have to kick Javier or Urquidy or Garcia out of the rotation. You stay with what you're doing. And it's a perfect solution. You got Odorizzi out of here. You don't have to worry about him complaining. And you got McCullers starting. If McCullers can't you know, can't do it. You got some guys who can go long relief in the bullpen. You get, you may, maybe match somebody up with him. Maybe match up an Abreu with him. That he, every time Lance McCullers starts, you got Abreu ready to go three or four innings until McCullers comes back at full strength. I think it's a perfect solution. I am worried about Verlander. So look at Verlander gave up three runs yesterday, and he still has a 1.85 earned run average. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. But I don't want him throwing 200 innings before you get to the postseason. He just is. You just don't do that. A guy coming off 2 years of Tommy John. You just don't do that. I know he's Verlander and he's different. But I really like that McCullers is coming back, getting the start on Saturday. Let him throw him out there and let's see what happens with him. We've been talking about him forever now. He's finally back. This is a nice addition. If he comes back as Lance McCullers, this is a great addition to a rotation. He could possibly be, if he's real Lance McCullers, he could possibly be one of the starters in the postseason.
Yeah, but if you talk about all that with Justin Verlander, being careful with him, just imagine what you're – a guy who's on a Cy Young type trip.
Well, he's thrown 86 – he just threw 86 pitches in his last outing in the minors.
No, I know, so, but you're talking about a guy with
You go 75 pitches or so with
him. The Tommy John thing, once again, he missed two seasons, but it was also only because of the timing. It was not too – Tommy
I know, Jones. I get it, but it he still was, hasn't, he didn't. He still didn't pitch for two.
You've got
years,
to be so. Extremely cautious with Lance McCullers, more than yeah. likely, or they're going well, to.
But 3 weeks in minor leagues, he's already up to 86 pitches.
He's up to 86
again,
pitches.
I'm not throwing him 100 pitches. I get that. You're not throwing him 100 pitches. Throw him 75 or 80 pitches, but match him up with somebody in that bullpen, be it Martinez or Abreu or what, not Maton for sure. Whatever you're going to do, that's just fine. But you start him, and it eases up everybody in the rotation with a six-man rotation.
Well,
I'm going to tell you this. Which we were talking to Todd Callis the other day. I'm going to tell you this. Nobody thought he would go from a four-man rotation to a five-man rotation. It won't be long because of how they protect pitchers now that it's going to be the standard. Six-man rotation will probably be the standard going in just a couple, 3 or 4 years.
I don't see that.
Nobody saw 4 to 5-man rotation.
Well,
either,
I mean, 4 to 5 happened over two decades ago. I don't see six-man rotation.
Right, but at some point it happened. I'm telling you, the way that they protect pitchers now, I'm just saying, you can poo-poo it all you want. I'm telling you, within the next 4 or 5 years, it'll be.
I'm not buying that pitchers are going to start getting $2 million to start. I'm not buying it. I mean, the start counts are going to go down into the low 20s on a regular basis. I'm just not buying it. Major League owners are going to be okay with that.
As often as pitchers get their arms hurt,
yeah, but that's not because of how much they throw. But John, that's because of the mind. That's because of what they do when they're young, the year round pitching and the travel baseball. It's not the Major League Baseball. You can't find a correlation between look at the pitch counts and the game started and complete games and the lack of arm issues in the past when they started more and threw more. And look now, what's the only difference? Baseball in the little league level and the youth level is what's substantially different. The breaking pitches, this has already been discovered. Like, this is not new. They've already discovered that this is the issue.
And it's happening right now.
Well,
it's
I think you might do something if you got a team full of, that's a whole separate topic. I don't see that happening anytime soon because you basically are asking pitchers to pitch substantially less and while paying them substantially more. I think you're going to get heavy pushback from teams who already have pitch counts in place.
I got it. I'm just saying, okay, that's another argument for another day. You know what else is another argument is what the hell? What I mean, I'm sick of this Mancini thing. I can't be more. I'm just disgusted. Yuli is on a 1-for-21 in his last five games, and he refuses to play. Man, I mean, it's not only Yuli. Yordan is 6 for his last 41.
Something's up with Yordan.
Something is up with Yordan with his hand or whatever the case may be. But Yuli, I mean, I know Yuli was red hot. Yuli is ice cold in his last five games. Mancini has started four games. He's been here 8 games, and he started four. What the hell did you trade for him for? For him to sit there and watch everybody? It seems like Dusty feels like he picked up Mauricio Mancini I mean, he's treating him like he's some kind of a fourth outfield, fifth outfielder, sixth outfielder, as opposed to a guy who was supposed to come here and be a big bat in the middle of this lineup. It's unbelievable.
He just said he's treating him like an all I could get. We cannot say all the language in it. But it reminds me of when the owner of the restaurant who got hit over the head by Tommy in Goodfellas, he has to go to Paulie to help him. Like, listen, I mean, Tommy, he's out of order. He's disrespectful. I mean, he treats me like I'm half of something. I mean, you know, you want me to do so? What do you want me to do about this? That's like going to James Click. What do you want me to do about this? This Dusty, he treats me so out of order. He sits me on the bench. I got these other guys who can't even hit. I got 3 home runs and 4 starts, and he won't even start me. I sit on a bench. I mean, no disrespect, but I didn't come from Baltimore to sit on the bench the entire time. What do you want me to do? It's Dusty. Yeah, Dusty's got 2,000 wins. What do you want me to do? I mean, shoot the guy? I mean, it's not a bad idea. I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I can't even get on the bench. McCormick, Jake Myers, this guy strikes out once every 3 times. I mean,
McCormick is playing left field. Dubon is playing. Dubon's got the same number of starts as Mancini since Mancini got here.
Are you kidding me? I'll talk to Dusty. You want to talk to Dusty? I'll talk to Dusty for you. Thank you. That's all I want. Tell him what we talked about. That's Henry Hill coming in. Who would that be? Joe Espada. Tell him what we talked about. I mean, I thought maybe you could come in, you know, get a piece of my contract, maybe.
RJ. That's RJ.
He's Godfather.
That's good. That's Godfather.
Yeah, you got a good fellas that you would go. You got rags to riches. You can go rags to riches.
You know I've gone from rags to riches.
So it's fresh in my mind. It's fresh in my mind because I'm watching Goodfellas with Alec. I'm having Alec watch some. Here it is.
Ever since I came to the Astros, I always wanted to be a left fielder.
It was great.
The other Baltimore Orioles looked at me like I was some kind of, you know, hero in the neighborhood. I was out there. You got Yuli Crazy Hair. You got Lance No Arm. You got Justin Verlander with the hot wife. Hey, how you doing, pal? I mean, you got other guys, Mauricio the Frenchman. You know, you got King Tuck, who barely can get it out of the infield, except yesterday when he bombed out. You got the Cuban Missile Crisis. Hey, como está? Como está? Yeah. But one day, Dusty Baker wouldn't put me in the lineup for like the 30th day in a row. And James Click sent a message. You know this kid? You start him in left field or your head's going in the oven.
See? That's how it could all work out. Except Dusty is Paulie. That's the difference. Dusty's actually Paulie in charge of the family. And the family, the guy who's in charge of the family won't play you. That's the problem. You can't go above Dusty. Dusty is Paulie.
No. You're a little disrespectful yourself.
But amongst Italians, it was real greaseball ship. But I said ship.
That's unbelievable.
And his name's Mancini, too. How good is this?
Oh,
so
hey.
Your daughter. So I hear that you're half Cuban, only the good half.
That's what you'd say to Dusty, because you want to be Cuban on this team.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So.
Jordan, well, good Cuban.
Let's take a break. I'm so disgusted. I'm so disgusted. I can't even tell you. No, I like the analogy. I like the Goodfellas analogy. Mancini's talking to Paulie.
Treating me like, I mean, what am I?
Click is Paulie.
Wait, Click is. I mean, he's treating me like I'm a filth outfielder out here. I hit home runs for you. I don't do this. I've been in the league a long time, and Dubon is playing ahead of me.
That's the truth. It's the truth. All right, when we come back, we will continue Astros. And there's a little update about Deshaun, and it's looking good. It's looking really good, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's looking good for Texans fans looking for a draft pick.
Yeah, we don't care about the
Maybe
Browns.
Not so much for
that's looking
Watson.
Good for us. Who cares about the Browns fans
and what they
think? It's time for us to talk, though, about Chastain Ford. And those are my people over at Chastain Ford. And listen, they got it going on right now. You can order all of your stuff that you want to get the Bronco Sport, you can. You can order it right now at Chastain Ford. You can order the F-150. You can get the Explorer, the Ranger, the Edge. And there's no markups. They never mark it. And listen, you go to another place. You actually are going to build your Ford your way at MSRP. Not even at MSRP. They're going to give you the rebates. They're going to do everything they can to get that below MSRP. While the other guys, I swear to God, they're adding $5,000, $10,000 onto that MSRP because they're saying it's so tough to get. And you're buying it. Well, don't buy it anymore. Get to Chastain Ford if you're getting your new Ford car or truck. I'm telling you right now. And there's no add-ons. They're not going to say, oh, well, we want to put in a spray-in bed liner. We want you to have leather seats. No, you got to get this. You got to get the sunroof. No, you don't. You get your Ford vehicle the way that you want it at Chastain Ford. You price it, you build it your way. And oh, by the way, I've been telling you about the mobile service. If you've got a commercial establishment and you have a fleet of cars or just however many cars you've got, and especially if they're Ford cars or trucks, they can come to you to fix them as opposed to you taking them to the dealership and getting fixed. So if you're looking for, and at prices that are similar, especially if you've got fleets, at under price at with the fleet. So if you're looking for that kind of service, if you're looking for that kind of way to buy that vehicle, be it a business or yourself, right here, right now. You got it at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or ChastainFord.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. My buddy Ian, he's pretty good. New guy Melts, he tweets, he is a diehard, watches every second of every Astros game with the tweet of the night last night. Pena hit that rookie wall harder than Ann Hesh hit that house.
That is some crazy stuff going on with her.
Oh, what is going on with her?
Man, oh, man. The same day that she hit that, drove into that house, she had run into some storage facility, too, like police. There's something going on there.
She was on some bath salts or something. Pena, 5 for his last 47. In 2 weeks, he's taken 20 points off his average and 40 points off his OPS. No, more. He's taken 60 points, 60-some points off
his
OPS.
There's a bunch of cold streaks going right now.
Yeah. No. And Jake Myers, and I mean, it's just...
Yordan, Yuli, another bases loaded failure yesterday. The guy who was known to be the most prolific bases loaded hitter in the game, and he has turned into one of the biggest disasters in that same scenario this year.
Why is
disaster.
He's one for, I mean, I don't get, I just don't get it. Dusty, he's disrespecting him. He's disrespecting Mancini. You don't, Dusty, he can play left field in a short outfield. That I can play left field at Minute Maid Park. Lance, you can play with even with your scooter. You could play left field at Minute Maid Park with your one leg running around looking for your frisbee out there.
Right now, maybe you didn't hear. I don't shine shoes no more.
You could probably play your frisbee golf while you're playing left field out there.
No, it's too small. It's too short. It's too short.
It's not big enough for your little frisbee game.
Golf. Yeah, I can't even. You can't even put a hole there. You can put one in left center.
Oh my God! It's just. We got to go to Click, Paulie. We got to go to Click and get this done. He's got to trade. You know what? Click's got to trade Yuli now, or he's got to send him down. He can't trade him anymore. He's got to send him down. He's got to, because otherwise Dusty won't put Mancini in ever. It's okay. What is Yuli's OPS right now?
It's in the 600s.
Yeah, 650-something.
Yeah, that's
atrocious. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Dude, did he really just, something? Like, there is 0% chance Yuli's back as an Astro. There's no chance.
No, he's not. No, he can't. You can't bring him back.
This ought to be a celebration. Like, Yuli, at the end of the year, he should walk around, you know, run around or walk around the entire, down the first baseline, around the outfield, you know, waving to people as a retirement. They should give him a rocking chair at some point. This should be his retirement season.
Yeah, you don't want to goof him, though.
You don't want to goof him. I'm just saying, you might as well do a retirement ceremony for him because he's not going to be an Astro anymore. And I don't know right now if he's playing himself on the money with another team.
Yeah. Pena's down to 703 OPS.
Good.
I mean, look at the.
I still like him to win Rookie of the Year.
No. Julio Rodriguez got that.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Dubon. He starts Dubon. He's got a 577 OPS. 577, and he's got Mancini on the bench. What the? I just can't. I'm just done. I just can't. Somebody's got to do something about Dusty. They got it. You got it. I mean, click. You got to walk in there, and you got to tell him. Just play Mancini. No, I don't care. Dusty, you got 2,000 wins. That's great. Play Mancini. Just play him. I don't care where you play him. Just play him. That's why we got him. Okay? Vasquez started 3 games since he got here. And it's typical. I mean, and he's got himself a couple of hits. Mancini comes in last night and gets a hit. He pinch hits and gets a hit instead of being on the field. I mean, it's just driving me nuts. It's making me nuts. All right.
It's making everybody nuts.
Right.
People on Twitter are pissed off at Dusty right now.
Oh, my God. Do you think there's anything to this story? There's a story that is out. And it's not from Balsack, that Pro Football, two individuals told Aaron Wilson that Harvey, Peter C. Harvey, who's overseeing this Deshaun Watson appeal, has an extensive background in prosecuting domestic violence and sexual assault cases. He's the one that actually helped write
the
player.
Policy.
Yeah, right. So one source went so far as to call it a slam dunk that Watson will receive a 1-year suspension, while another thinks the 3-time Pro Bowl selection could make his official Browns debut before Christmas. It could be 12 games, $8 million fine, or that full-year suspension that Roger Goodell wants. Now, the thing about it is, does Peter C. Harvey want a role in the NFL going forward? And if so, has Roger Goodell told him that he wants a 1-year suspension? And if so, is that what Peter C. Harvey is going to do?
Peter C. Harvey could sue the ever-living...
Roger Goodell has told him, hey, actually, the appeal could be, hey, we want a 1-year suspension. They want a 6-game suspension that Sue L. Robinson said. We want a 1-year suspension.
Telling you, this is everything that you're saying is going to make this suspension not stick. Because the NFLPA is immediately taking this to court.
Whether or not the decision is made, it's immediately
going to a federal court.
And the federal court probably throws it out because it's a collective bargain. It's the collective bargain.
This is part of the collectively bargained agreement. Like this appellate process is, but if the appellate process is not a fair process, it will be thrown out. It's got to be seen as a fair process.
Well, and it will be. The NFL says, no, we want a 1-year suspension. They said 6. And they said 6 games.
If everything you're saying, all these reports, who's
already on the board of the NFL, of course it's going to look. Hey, Roger Goodell could have done this himself. Roger Goodell could have done this himself. That's prejudicial in itself. He's the one that is appealing.
It was collectively bargained.
I get that. That's exactly what I'm saying. But it was collectively bargained this way.
I would tell you though. But if the process where he pushes it to somebody else, but then everything that you say is out there that this guy, you know, and I wonder sometimes if that's why it's being planted, so it appears prejudicial in nature. Obviously, the argument could be it's prejudicial. I mean, you're making it. Everyone's going to make it. Obviously, that's going to be the case. But this has been collectively bargained. However, if this looks like it's a quid pro quo situation where if you do what we tell you to do, you can keep this position or whatever the case may be, Well, obviously, that's getting thrown out of court. I mean,
well, obviously, but you don't. You're obviously not going to present it that way.
Well, but we're just saying,
no.
If you're Deshaun's side, you will.
Yeah, of course you will. But you say, listen again. Roger Goodell could have done this himself. So how prejudicial is Roger Goodell actually appealing and going to decide the appellate decision?
I'm telling you, maybe Roger.
I mean, that's president. But you're the ones that agreed to this.
Maybe
and,
he should have done it himself.
Well, maybe, but he's not. So if Roger Goodell, all he's saying is, hey, we want a 1-year suspension. That's not prejudicial. But if I'm Peter C. Harvey, I'm like, okay, well, Raj wants a 1-year suspension. Let me look at everything. 1-year suspension's good. That's fine by me. Let's do a 1-year suspension. I'm actually the guy who wrote the decorum for NFL players.
Well, which may make it less likely that he gives a 1-year suspension. He may say, we don't have anything inside of that, and that needs to be changed. I mean, he does have a legal background.
You know, and it could well be that Raj is okay with 12 games and an $8 million fine.
Right.
Because then
That's
Deshaun
what I
doesn't
think is going to happen.
Then Deshaun doesn't come to Houston.
I think it goes year, publicly, year. Looks like a lock, because that's out there now. 1 year looks like a lock. 1 year looks like a lock. And then if it comes in at 12 games, it looks pretty fair, right? I mean, all we've heard about is NFL wanted a year. Supposedly it was a year lock. This actually comes in lower than we expected. Well,
right.
Peter Harvey really did a good job of tuning out the noise and just sticking with whatever he thought the facts were. That could also be in play, too.
And the NCAA could get their pound of flesh into the $8 million fine because you know that they're pissed off that they circumvented the whole fine thing by giving Deshaun just $1 million this year. So that all could work out, and the NFL and the Players Association is somewhat appeased, although the Players Association wants the 6 games. But the NFL, they decided this was okay. That's on them. The Players Association decided that this appellate system is okay.
If this goes to eight to ten games, I think there's a chance the NFLPA may not try to take it to federal court. They probably will because it stands for more than Watson. They probably don't want new precedent set, is my guess, for their side, even though, for what's right in society, there probably needs to be new precedent. But they probably would fight it. However, I would just say this. If it were 10 games, it might behoove the NFLPA to just say, you know what, let's just let it sit at 10 so it doesn't get into next season's contract potentially. Because that's a lot more money for Deshaun, especially if a fine is also thrown on top of the missed game. So, well, we'll see what happens. I do think it's going to end up in federal court no matter what the NFL. I think it's going to come to, if it goes to a full year, there's a good chance Deshaun plays week one anyway. But there's talk right now that the NFL is looking to, by as early as this week, suspend Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, because, well, and
commissioner's
and
exempt.
Yeah, and well, I think Lamont on Twitter brought up, what if Deshaun gets a year suspension, but he gets hurt in this first preseason game, and he would be out for the year anyway.
Did you
now
see
what
they said? That the NFL, there's a belief the NFL doesn't want him, any highlights of him this year, nothing on NFL Network, nothing on, they don't want him on TV in a game scenario at all this year.
Well, but, and Raj was pretty adamant and pretty ugly that he's a predator, that he's egregious, and his behavior was predatory.
He used the big words on him for sure, like the yucky ones that you don't like hearing.
No, 100%. Predator, you don't want predator on you, especially from the commissioner of your league. You don't want him calling you a predator. No. So,
hey Brandon, we're going to get to Brandon in a second. He wants to bring up Mancini, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get a little we'll touch back on the Astros and a loss to another inferior team while there are some big-name guys who are slumping right now. I say we call in HRP and look to potentially remove Phil Maton.
Well, I don't think that he's an HR problem, because it's all he's got is that standing Maton face. I mean, that's not going to get you fired, I don't believe, although I don't know. HRP is here for you if you have employee problems. you know what? James Click's having an employee problem with Dusty. I don't know if this is – that's an EHR department. I'm not sure. I know this. HR&P could handle the payrolls. The payroll is tremendous. It doesn't look payrolls for the Astros. Are you kidding me? How would you like to HR&P? How'd you like to write that check for Verlander and Altuve every day? That would be how awesome would that be? It doesn't matter how much your employees make. It doesn't matter how many employees you have. Although under 15, you don't want to use a payroll service. But if you've got more than 15 employees, if you have 20, 50, 80, 100, 1,000 employees, it doesn't matter. HR&P is here for you. HR&P will get that done. And HR&P will take care of problems that you have in your business, like Dusty not starting Mancini. That's right. They can take care of this. If you need if Dusty needs a talking to, call HR&P and let them come in and talk to Dusty about the way he's treating Mancini, because it seems like it's unfair, and you can't have a boss who's treating employees unfairly. So if you're looking for a great way to get your HR and your payroll, somebody's going to do it great for you, going to take care of your taxes as well, your Affordable Care Act. It's HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Just a lot of, you know, relief, you know, felt, you know, just a sigh of relief and happiness. And I just want to be a part of the team. I just want to be a active part of the team, I should say. And, just step in and continue doing what these guys have done so well all year, which is win ball games and, you know, play high quality baseball and just be a part of a team that is, you know, in position to go to another postseason.
If the word challenge is right, what are the challenges in starting for the first time in a really long time in the big leagues for you? Or if that's the wrong word, what would
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's getting my legs back under me, you know, feeling that flow again and getting back out there and doing my thing. I think when you take an extended period of time off, there's a little bit of ups and down bumps in the road as far as just getting back to where you were. And I've kind of expressed to you guys a little bit during my rehabs. I feel, you know, like I'm really close. It just something comes and goes, and that's, you know, just part of getting back out there and getting your legs under you. So yeah. I'm excited to just, you know that, you know, we still have a decent little chunk left this season for, you know, me to get right. And you know, like I said, you want to be a part of this team as we are positioned to, you know, head into another October and try to, you know, put some more you know, pennants on the flagpole.
That's Lance McCullers talking about getting the start on Saturday against the A's. So Lance McCullers back in the rotation after his rehab. Now let's see if he's got enough to get. Lance gives under over. I'm gonna go under over 4 2/3.
Under. I'm gonna say it's close.
Under.
Yeah, I think more like 3.
I think he's gonna go 5.
Two big problems for me is he has struggled to get guys out consistently in his appearances. And
yeah, but he could have been working on stuff.
Been working on stuff and trying to actually let. You know, right. Get a guy out.
Well, I mean, it's been what lineup was better, the one he faced in Sugarland or the one he's facing on Saturday?
Probably the one on Saturday, since they're major leaguers. That's like the old.
Well,
could Alabama beat Cleveland?
Not really, because they got a bunch of AAA guys that are playing for the A's.
Well, no, that's true, but they're still major leaguers. I mean, they're still well. If he had been facing the Space Cowboys, he would have had to get Corey Lee out, who Corey Lee had another home run at a grand slam yesterday. And Jainer Diaz hit one out, hit another homer. He's got 12 home runs.
Wait a minute. How could they both play? They both
I don't
catch.
Know. They both
it's
did.
Impossible. It's impossible for you to have a guy who plays the same position as another guy to be both of them to be on the field.
I guess
it's impossible, Lance.
I guess we had the magic DH position, but I do know this. He Jainer Diaz hit it out at 105 miles an hour was his exit velo, which is that's a pretty good shot. And
Jainer Diaz may be the best player in that trade. No, you know what? There's a very good possibility he's going to be the best player in that trade.
No, he is going to.
Yeah. You know, he there's a very good that may be in years to come, like, really? You got this guy for Miles Straw and you got Maton too? Ball
right now. Diaz is killing it with power, which makes me wonder if there's maybe a chance that they can convert him over to first base and look for a position swap for him, potentially to, you know, take over for Yuli. Let's see. The mentality of a catcher, you know, you've got to have a good feel. Of course, blocking is different than scooping it, but there's still some, I mean, it's still hand-eye stuff involved in it. So you already know you have Corey Lee. I don't know that they want to put a roadblock in front of Corey Lee, but I'm curious to see what happens because the Astros have a couple catchers with some talent in the lower level. I don't know how Diaz, I don't know how he calls games, how he frames pitches. I don't know how he is defensively, but I know he can rake. I know he can hit with power. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. So is Brandon still on the line?
No, Brandon hung up.
Okay. That's looking like a better and better trade. Even though you got Maton in the deal, it still looks like a better trade. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on your Astros, you're more than welcome to get in here and talk about it, the Mancini deal or whatever it is that you want to. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who goes down with Lance McCullers coming up now. Interesting to see how they work that out and whether or not Maton stays. Because, you know, Dusty loved Maton because he actually was great against lefties last year. So he didn't feel like without a lefty in the bullpen, he felt like Maton was his lefty guy. But now that Will Smith is here, you know, now you got a guy against lefties, and maybe I don't know what his options are. How many options, what he's got left. But if that's a possibility, it's a good possibility that you would send Maton down as opposed to Martinez or Abreu. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. 713-780-3776 is the number to call if you would like to get in here. Here's a list, Lance, of pending free agents. Very interesting. Aaron Judge is obviously the number one, is the number one pending free agent coming out. It'll be interesting to see if the Yankees let him. He hit his 45th yesterday. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they let Aaron Judge walk. Trey Turner is number two, the shortstop for the Dodgers. He's been great for him. Nolan Arenado is number three. We'll see whether or not he gets the Anthony Rendon deal. Carlos Correa is number four on this list. Xander Bogaerts is a pretty good free agent list. Jacob DeGrom is interesting. I don't know how many years, how much you give this guy because you can't depend on him. But Jacob DeGrom, otherwise he'd be number one maybe number two on the list after Judge, because if you could depend on him, everybody would scoop. I mean, he would have the highest pitching contract in the game. Dansby Swanson is number seven, Carlos Rodon number eight, Justin Verlander they have as number nine. They have Verlander as number nine on this list.
I think Verlander's impact should. Look, it's not long term. It's probably 2 years max if he pitches, if he decides to opt out, which, you know, I think he will. I don't see him doing more than a 2-year deal. That's what he's been doing, and at his age, that's what makes sense. And it looks like he's amenable to that because he wants to be able to shut it down when he wants to be able to shut it down. But Justin Verlander, based on his impact on the game, I don't care what his age is. Even if it's 2 years, I would. Maybe they're looking at it as, look, if you're only going to pitch for a couple of years, we're not going to put you as high on the list because you don't have as long an impact. But, man, he should probably be in the top four because what he could help a good team do in one single year is amazing. Aaron Judge is 30, John. He's going to turn 31 by the beginning of next season. He's going to be 31. Let's say he hit the market, and I know that was similar to George's age eventually, but let's say he hit the market. I wonder what he would go for. I wonder what Aaron Judge. I mean, you'd obviously pay him $40+ million a year. He would be, you know, it's probably more like $45 million a year. How long would you give a 31-year-old from a contract standpoint?
maybe just the six that you got that George got. Maybe in that name, but he's Aaron Judge. It's different. It's different.
That's what I mean. Okay? I'd go way more.
Who would
than
you
six.
Rather have over the next 5 years, Judge or Soto?
I'd say Judge.
I'd say Judge too.
Over the next
and Soto
five.
Soto just turned down 440.
Yeah, well, Soto's. I mean, I don't know that he's going to get 440 from the Padres. They've already had to string out the 14-year deal on Tatis, dude. When they sign him, and you have to sign him now, they're going to have two guys on the hook for more than a decade. And that's either going to be really great or really terrifying.
Or really, really great. I mean, to have two of the best in the game.
It's hard. The only way it's not is if there's injury. I mean, it's not going to be lack of play. It's going to have to be injury.
How about facing those two?
Is a concern already.
How about facing those two? I don't know how much Machado has left on him, but Machado is great. Has been great this year, and he seems to be rejuvenated. No, they just signed Musgrove to a longer deal. He's been really, really good for them. 5 years, I believe, $100 million.
They're like the team in a fantasy league auction that spends all their money on their first couple players.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris McCaffrey, $55. Okay, sold to that team, and then you're all of a sudden you're going with Cooper Kupp. $49. All right, sold. Okay, let's do a dollar count. Okay, Padres, you only have $49 left now for 13 players. So I guess you can, you know, maybe take off the next 2 hours because you won't be able to bid on anybody. That's what the Padres are going to be once they sign Juan Soto with all the signings they already have. And it's not just going to be, dude, Soto's going to get at least 10 years. Maybe 12 years?
Oh, at least 10. But he's going to get better than the average. The average of that deal was only 29-something. It was less than $30 million
a year. Oh, no, his total money is going to be way, way up there. Can they get to 440, though?
I don't know that they get to 440, but they're going to do it. Well, he's so young. He's still so young.
I want a
10-year deal, and he'll still have room to put another five on after that.
What I'm asking for if I'm Soto. Everyone else wants long-term deals. I'm going, yeah, you know what? I'll take a 6-year deal at $250 million. I'll take six at $250. Put me nearer to 40, 41 and a half, and I'm hitting the market again at 28. Are you kidding me?
That's
what I'd ask for. I'd ask for a 6-year deal.
Yeah,
and the
team
would be good
with it.
And the Padres would 100% do it.
You better not get hurt. That's all. You just better not get hurt.
Well,
all right, 746.
You got a quarter of a billion. I mean, what's the worst case scenario? You end up with a quarter of a billion and you get a chill at the age of 28? That's terrible.
The Texans made a trade. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for you to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf has been hooking people up for years. I've talked about who he is and why I like the company. I did that yesterday. I want to give you an idea of some GMC deals you can get right now. You can find the Sporty 2022 GMC Terrain at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. And for well-qualified buyers, they're offering 0% financing for this month. Now, you know, we're in the month of August. You've got the entire month to go, but you've got 0% financing offer, and that's kind of been taken off the plate for a lot of the vehicles out there, but it's still available for you this month for the GMC Terrain. You can choose the GMC Terrain SLT model. There's a $750 purchase allowance on that one. See dealership to find the perfect incentive for your entire family. Start the car buying experience online. That's where it all starts. Find the vehicles you like. You can even do your car buying online at LanceZCars.com. You can ask questions about your trade-in value. You can, once again, have the entire car buying process done online. They can even drive the car to you here in Houston and Spring, wherever you are. They go that extra mile to get the deal done. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. GMC, we are professional grade.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, all I've seen and since Pharaoh Brown is going to be all pro this year, Lance, is and you know, there's been big ups for Brevin Jordan, and he's put on some weight, and he's actually worked on his blocking, so he's going to be better at that. And then they go and pick up Adam Shaheen. What do you know about Adam Shaheen?
Adam Shaheen is a gigantic tight end who got hot in the draft process because he's huge. He is very athletic, fast for his size, gets in and out of breaks well. I remember I didn't love Shaheen as much as Daniel Jeremiah. I felt like, for me, I thought his tape was just okay coming out of a small college. But, you know, you don't worry about that as much as you worry about a lot of times projecting the player. It's just that he really did not live up to some of the hype. On my grade on him, let's see, I'm pulling him up right now. I had a 6-2-0, which meant more like a third or fourth round player. He got picked in the second round. A 6-2-0 would be eventually an average starter, but kind of on the low end. He came out, Johnny, with 6'6", 278, which is huge. He ran a 4.7.
Tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge. He ran a 4.79, which is just kind of average for an inline starter, but he was kind of quick in and out of his breaks. I said big, fast, and athletic. Shaheen will immediately interest teams who are looking for size and traits. He's a poorer blocker than what might be expected for a player with his frame, but he's also a much more dangerous pass-catching target. The jump in competition will be substantial, and teams will expect him to become a more consistent blocker. But he's a pass-catching tight end in a wide tight end body, which is an inline blocker. Shaheen has starting potential with an ability to impact the passing game early in his career. He's out of he played at Ashland. My weaknesses: physically overwhelmed to lower-level competition, ducks head into initial block, in need of his fair share of technique work as a run blocker, gets jammed up in his release, hasn't learned how to utilize his hands to free himself from press, upper body stiff and mechanical on his routes. It just really hasn't it come together for him. And now the Texans have him. But sometimes, you know, you just don't get it going with the team you were with before, and maybe they can unlock him. I know Dusty, I know Lovie Smith talked about yesterday, and I think we have that, right, RJ? Lovie Smith talked about the fact that bringing in a new tight end is something that they wanted to do for a specific reason.
We need, you know, more bodies and more guys that, you know, we have some move guys, but we're looking for some kind of wise inline tight ends, you know, that can also catch the ball a little bit too, and we feel like Adam will give us that. We know a little bit about him, and he was available. And just know, guys, we're Nick and the crew. We're constantly looking at every guys that might be available to add to the mix. We've gone through a lot of practices now, and we feel like we need another guy at that position.
So there's two types of tight ends. You've got the the wise, which is an inline blocking tight end. You want them to be able to block and catch passes. In a perfect world, you've got the pure blocking tight ends, but you've got combo tight ends, which are the blocking, and you want them to be able to get out. What Lovie just told you is that that's who they're hoping Adam Shaheen can be, along with Pharaoh Brown. They wanted to get another guy like that. And here's the reason why. Brevin Jordan is what's called an F, or some people call him a U. They're like move tight ends, right? You can either line them out in a slot. Sometimes they're a wing back. Sometimes you have them in the backfield. But Brevin is more of a move tight end who's a pass-catching tight end. Teagan Quatariano was supposed to be what Ashland is, but Quatariano has been hurt. So the draft pick from the fifth-round draft pick from Oregon State, that's basically what they're telling you, is that Anthony Auclair, they obviously don't know that he's going to be the guy as that type of big
he's,
body.
He's banged up, too.
And he's hurt. Teagan Quatariano has had injuries. He's another one who is a clear wide tight end, did a lot of blocking in the outside zone stuff for Oregon State. So basically, they're just telling you, these two guys, Auclair and Quatariano, yeah, we had them in here for that purpose, but this would tell me that Quatariano, there's a decent chance he's going to not be a factor this year, meaning I don't know if he'd be cut and then put on the a fifth rounder cut and then put on the practice squad. I don't know if you want to take the chance there. I think more than likely he may come up with an injury that might put him on the put him on the IR and kind of stash him. You could see that if Shaheen is the guy that they think can make some sense?
We were sent Shaheen's Twitter bio. he's got a pretty girlfriend.
Most of them do, John.
Yeah. No. Well, he's an NFL player, so he should. If he doesn't, then, you know, we don't want him.
And he was a college star.
Yeah, he was a college star.
Well, he was good. Yeah.
But his he is Adam Shaheen 3, at Adam Shaheen 3. And it says, I will not comply somewhere without a mask. So I like him already. He's not wearing a mask. He's not going to give in to that liberal, all of that garbage that's going on. So,
is that really a thing? Are you having some mask issues anywhere right now?
I've always had mask issues.
Where are they making you wear?
Oh,
your mask
in Washington,
now?
Yeah, they've eased it up. But the last time that we were here for Mardi Gras. And it was so stupid. You couldn't walk
anywhere. Oh, well,
that's
Washington. That's different. But are you having any mask issues in Texas anywhere? I mean, I fly on planes. I don't know
anywhere.
No.
No, but I'm talking about before. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about before. Now,
that's
before
why I was asking if you're still having issues.
No, but there's still a lot of people. We got that new strain that's coming out of China that's going to be awesome, where people just you talk to someone and then you die. So that's unfortunate.
This guy likes guns a lot on his Instagram. I can tell you that.
He does.
Oh,
he's a gun guy.
You pointed me out to his Instagram.
You know what? Don't take away his freedoms. Don't take away his rights.
Well, he's on the third. What if Adam Shaheen said, "I'm going to Texas"? Told his agent, "Do what you can to get me to Texas."
Florida's pretty good though. Okay.
Yeah, he was.
Florida's
in Miami.
Okay.
He was in Miami, but
DeSantis is pretty good with the guns.
He's still a pretty big guy. We'll see. This is his third. He was drafted not that long ago, and he's already on his third team. So this really hasn't worked
out
great.
Hey, that's a second rounder that you got for you swapped a sixth for a seventh.
Yeah, it has not worked out. He's about to have his third jersey on in his last 12 Instagram posts.
It's like, every 12 Instagram posts, he gets a new
jersey? Well, I can
say
it this way. Of his last 12 Instagram posts, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. In his last 14 Instagram posts, 2 have been football. He likes to hunt. He likes to shoot. He likes to hang out with his girlfriend. As you mentioned, John, he's doing fine. He likes to hang out with his friends. Sometimes he likes to play football.
Well, when he's on the field.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe there's just not a lot of pictures to take. Maybe that's what it's about.
Right. I saw a picture of him in his uniform. He was actually on the field. It might have been special teams. I don't know. I'm not sure. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got any thoughts about this Astros thing? You're more than welcome to get in here.
What thing? Mancini can't play thing?
No, whatever thing. I mean, listen.
Losing to the Rangers thing?
41.
The Yankees
lost again, so they're still tied for the best record. Both teams are struggling a little bit, somewhat, not even a little bit. Both teams are struggling. So this is you're still in a great situation. Dusty still won 2,000 games, blah, 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 blah. Go out there and put a better lineup in out there.
Than
Mauricio and Chaz out in the outfield. That 0-for-7 in the outfield.
John, before,
put a better lineup
out
there.
Yeah, do better. Before we get to the break, though, I do want to mention, Adam Shaheen does have 12 starts over the last two seasons, including 7 starts in 12 games last year. And his snap counts on offense, he had 34% of the snaps in 2020. He's been over 30% of the snaps since he came into the league. I mean, he started 7, 4, 2, 5, 7. He has had some injuries along the way, which maybe has hurt him a little bit. But 30% of the snaps his rookie year, then 38%, then 34%, then 34%. He started 46% of the snaps last year. And when you consider they had Mike Gesicki, that means he got much of the work in their two tight end sets. So when they bring in Adam Shaheen, I would tell you that We are definitely going to see Adam Shaheen working opposite of Farrell Brown when they want to go to their two tight sets.
It was funny, though, how they've been lauding Farrell Brown and Brevin Jordan. You know, that was that's a Casario pick. So it's funny that that's the position that they go out. But it was basically for nothing. They picked him up for nothing. So it's not like they gave something up for that position. But it's interesting that that's the position. Maybe because Auclair has been banged up. And Katoriano isn't ready. Maybe that's why. All right, let's talk about the Morley Law Firm. Morley Law. Listen, MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. I don't know what your issue is. If you've got some employees that are having some immigration issues, say, habla español, you want to keep them here. I mean, there are so many people that we really like in this city that we really like, that we would love to see, that we have worked for you or they're friends of yours and they're having immigration problems. You know that they're great people. You want to help them. If you know someone that is having an immigration problem, send them to the Morley Law Firm, because the Morley Law Firm is doing this. And I don't know that there's a lot of different law firms that are taking care of this kind of immigration problems, but and se habla español. So if you're looking to help people, it's someone that you know that is having an immigration problem, the Morley Law Firm is the place to go, because they're working on this stuff every single day. You're also, I don't know what else it is. Do you have an issue with a doctor? Do you have an issue that you've been in an accident, an 18-wheeler, or just a regular accident? Do you have an issue with an insurance company that you're not getting paid on it? Whatever your issue is, if you need to sue or you need – litigation should be the last thing, but if it's needed, you got the representation at the Morley Law Firm. They're here for you no matter what the issue is, civil or criminal. No matter what it is, they are going to help you out. Go to MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. It's the Morley Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.